size of this congregation, but they have spent thousands and thousands of dollars in the church in Pakistan. I just praise Jesus. I'd like to say thank you to James and Jeff. I'm not going to call you James. in Pakistan, people call him James. Also to Bobby and Latanya, these are the names and the brother. What's your name again, please? Yes, Michael. And I just praise Jesus for all of you. I wish that I could know all the names, of all of you, and want to say thank you to individually. You are a great, blessing for me to be, in the work in Pakistan, a great support. I just praise Jesus for each one of you. And, I'd like to share some of the things tonight, some of the things from the, what we're doing in Pakistan and also from the Word of God. And as I was, in this meeting tonight, as I was standing and the Lord gave me this passage that I should share with you, it's found in the book of Acts chapter 20. Book of Acts chapter 20 and verse 22, 23, and 24. And now compelled by the Holy, by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that the prison and the hardship are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the mighty, powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, Master, Savior, King. Lord, I thank you for this church, your bride, to whom you have called to be a part of your kingdom. And Lord, not only a part of your kingdom, but you have called them to be your voice, your hand, and your feet, and your heart on this earth, Lord God. Lord, I thank you that you have given this vision to have this mission conference. Lord, I thank you that this is your heart, Lord God. That, Lord, I pray tonight. Lord, I pray that you bless your people. And Lord, speak to their hearts tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Once again, I'd like to say thank you to each one of you, and may Lord Jesus Christ richly bless you. And I would ask Brother Michael to bring up the PowerPoint. I want to share some of the stories, with you. In 97, if you remember, some of you remember that we were attacked by the Muslims, and our homes, our churches were burned by the Muslims in 97, and then we fled from Pakistan to South Africa. And when we were there for almost 2 years, we were told to leave the country, go back to Pakistan, because South African government wants to do business with the Pakistani government. They cannot keep us there. We went through a very difficult time. Many times we have to run for our lives. I remember, I was in a one town with my wife and two little babies. And we were threatened by the Muslims. Why we were threatened? Because we got a call from this Muslim lady, and she asked me if I can pray for her mother.
She has a breast cancer. I said, sure, we will pray for your mother. And the Lord Jesus has a power to heal her. So praise God, we fasted or prayed and she got healed. And what happened? You know, they were very happy, but her son was not happy because he was the Muslim priest in the big mosque. So he threatened us that they are coming to kill us. We have to run for our lives. And now we ended up in another town. There we met a Christian medical doctor. He said, you're welcome to stay in my home, but there's something you need to be doing while you will be in my home. I said, okay, what should I do? He said, you need to be preaching in my medical clinic every morning before I will see the patient. I said, sure, I will do that. And I started to preach in his medical clinic every morning before he sees those, you know, before he sees those patients, those who are coming for our medicine. But praise God, as I was preaching and laying hand on those sick people, those who are coming in this medical clinic, praise God, God was healing them, and they were accepting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And what happened? We were taking those people from the medical clinic to the swimming pool, baptizing them. Glory to Jesus. You remember what the Word of God says. If you read in the book of Acts, you will find out when the church in Jerusalem faced the persecution, the people were scattered. But what happened when they were scattered? Wherever they went, they kept on preaching the Word of God. You know what happened? If you read the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8, where Jesus spoke to his disciples, he told them, when the Holy Spirit will come upon you, you will receive power to be my witness. In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. What happened? You don't remember, when the Holy Spirit came, Peter preached and 3,000 got saved, and then another 2,000 got saved, and now it was a mega church. And I believe the church was very satisfied, you know, we have achieved our goal. But God was not satisfied over there. Okay. You know, I believe that that was not God's planning, because God was telling the church to go. But the church in those days just became like the church of today, like the mega church. You know, you come to us. You know? So this is exactly what was happening, but that was not God's planning. So God, you know, God allowed Saul to bring the persecution. And, you know, that verse 8 was fulfilled in chapter 8. Amen to that? Praise God. You know, they were good, they were okay in Jerusalem, but God didn't call them just for Jerusalem. God called them for the whole world. Amen to that. So praise God, as you are facing this persecution in South Africa, I know we were running, remember that when we were, you know, baptizing these people over there, the Muslim, they found out about me that I am there, and they caught me in that town. They forced me to go with them to the mosque, and they had a plan to kill me over there. But anyhow, God protected me and delivered me from the hand, and now we have to run for our lives again. So we were running around, you know, almost, I can say 75% of the country I saw, you know, and that was kind of a very scenic route. And that is an interesting God. You know, remember, if you read the book, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 10, you will find out Jesus said, when people will persecute you in one town, flee to the other one. But you shouldn't be stopped preaching the Gospel. You should keep on preaching the Gospel. Amen. So that's what we are doing. And the South African government, they were not happy for us to be there. They told us they're going to send us back to Pakistan.
They gave us, very short time, then gave a second notice. You know, after 15 days, they're going to deport us back to Pakistan. You know, and if we go there, we're going to get killed. You know, we know. And I remember I told my wife, you know, I am ready to die. And she said to me, I am ready to die also. But what about our children? You know, we thought about that, you know, God put in somebody's heart that they will adopt our children. But anyhow, because we knew that we're going to get killed someday, we don't know what's going to happen. And as you are in this, you know, situation, we only had 15 days left. And the God gave this inspiration or desire to my wife that she should fast for 3 days and three nights without food and water. So my wife, you know, she fasted for 3 days and three nights without food and water. We prayed and asked God, Lord, you can do anything. We have heard the stories how, you know, Christian took Bible to stricter nations, how they were searched by the customs of the police. Because we went to get a visa for the United States, they refused to give us the visa. We went to the U.S. consulate. We went to the U.N. for help. They refused. We had no help from anywhere. We were in a difficult, difficult situation. And what happened, after a fast and pray, we called the one church and asked them if they can give us the transportation that we could go to the, you know, the U.S. consulate. And as we went there, just imagine, we have no money to pay for our visa fee. We have no money to buy plane tickets. And, you know, our passports were stamped by the South African government. That means that we cannot go anywhere besides Pakistan. Then our passports are only good for 15 days. If you want to travel overseas, your passport needs to be valid more than a year. And all those things were there. And already the U.S. consulate told us that they're not going to give us the visas for the United States. We have to go back to Pakistan in order to get the visa for the United States. We said, we cannot go there. But they said, we, according to our laws, we cannot help you. But this time, after we prayed and fast, we went with Jesus. Amen to that. And as we arrived there, as I came out of the car, I felt that Jesus is walking with us. And as we went there, submit those applications. And the lady, she took our application. She didn't even look at me, who I am. And she said to me, come up for 3 days and collect your passports. And the amazing thing, our visa fee was already paid. You know, praise God. Jesus took care of that. And then the Lord led me to fast and pray. You know, the guy who was driving for us, he said, are you guys going to the United States? I said, yes. He said, do you have money to buy plane tickets? I said, no. He said, it is very expensive to go to the United States. You guys should have a big box to buy 4 plane tickets. I said, we don't have big boxes to serve big God. He will provide for us. And, you know, because since the time I have given my life to Jesus, He has always provided. And that's why the name Faith Covenant International, you know, the Lord gave it to me, that it is, you know, my faith covenant with God and His covenant with us that He's going to provide for us. You know, it is not a denomination. It's a Bible-believing organization. And we have a church in Pakistan. It's a Bible church just like your church. I just praise God. And, you know, what happened? You know, the Lord led me to fast and pray on Monday. We were praying, and the Lord started to speak to us. The Lord said, I, the Lord, change not. I am same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, I'm going to take you to the United States. Nobody's going to stop you. And I had the vision of Jesus. And praise God, He said, it is done. Next day, we went to collect our passports. We got our passports with the visas for the United States, but no plane ticket. Just a few days before our deportation, you know, we were about to be deported on the 23rd of July, 99. And we just got the tickets, plane tickets. You know, a guy came and he prayed with us. And after he prayed, he said, Pastor, I brought these 4 plane tickets for you and your family. You guys all said you're flying to the United States on Thursday, 22nd of July. You know, 6 p.m., just a 6-hour before our deportation and eventual execution. And as we landed here in Detroit, Michigan, you know, I was standing with my wife and two little babies in a short line, and the Lord said to me, go and stand right behind the long line. I stood right behind the long line, and as our turn came to face the custom, you know, I was told that when you will arrive in the United States, they're going to ask you a ton of questions, where you're going to live, who's going to be sponsoring you, you know, all sorts of questions, what will be your job. And I didn't know what's going to happen, you know, and what will be my job in the United States. I have no clue, no idea. So what happened? As we faced the custom, they took our passports, they asked me this question, what will be my job in the United States? And the Lord already told me that I should stay quiet. Because, you know, when Israelites came out of Egypt, as they were standing on the Red Sea shore, the Lord said to them, be still and see the deliverance which I will bring for you. You know, the Egyptians you see today, you will not see them anymore. You know, when they asked me this question, what will be your job in the United States, I didn't answer. And after, I think, 10 or 15 seconds, I believe, the lady over there, she said, are you guys going to be a missionary in the United States? I said, yes. And they stamped our passport, and they said, welcome to the United States. Amen to that. You know, now I feel that I'm a missionary to the United States. You know, praise God. Because the Bible says when the Holy Spirit will come upon you, you will be my witness all over the world. Amen to that. You can be a witness for Jesus Christ even in Mesa, Arizona. Amen to that. You know, I praise God. Although we are trying to reach the world, but we need people, those who could reach the people over here in the United States. Here in the United States of America is a more mission field than the Muslim countries. Can you imagine that the, you know, let me say something. You know, I teach on Islam in these days. This is my calling. Can you imagine, you know, we always hear through media that Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world. That is not true. It is only fastest growing religion in the world through biological way, by birth rate. It is only a fastest growing religion in the United States of America and Europe. It is not a fastest growing religion in the Muslim countries. Can you imagine? It is the fastest decreasing religion in the Muslim countries. Amen to that. Over 6 million Muslims are becoming Christian every year in the Muslim countries. Praise God. You know, I just praise Jesus. That is the amazing thing God is doing. And you are a part of that, you know, that what God is doing. Can you imagine, you know, how you are praying, you know, just like you share one of the story. I just got a call. You're supposed to be preaching in this church, you know, but it was not God's plan, you know. So anyhow, you know, this guy, he called me, you know, a few days ago. He said, you know, here, I went, you know, one of our church members got sick, and he has to go to the hospital. And they admitted him in the hospital, and now the church has to go and pray for him. Now, what happened? He said, in the last time, in, you know, when we went to pray for the people, we always, you know, whisper the prayer. But this time, the Holy Spirit told us that don't just whisper the prayer, just pray loud and clear, you know, in the hospital, and this is the only Christian guy, but beside him, all the Muslims are there. And as they start praying loud, you know, the Muslims are very superstitious. Oh, they said, you know, these guys are like a witch doctor. And they're coming after them. Oh, could you pray for my patient also? Could you pray for my patient? You know, they, man, they had the whole hospital. I became a church.
and they preach Jesus. Amen. That's what God is calling. You know why? Because this is God's, you know, desire for us that we, you know, this is Pakistan, and this is God's desire. This is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Who is that truth? Lord Jesus Christ is that truth. And John 3:16-17, God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. You know, as I was sharing that the God has called me to be a missionary in the United States, you know, I have a last year news report. You can go on my website and you can download that, you know, fortheloveofmuslims.com. The Lord used me here in this country, and many, many hundreds of people, they rededicate their lives. Many of them, they gave their life to Jesus, repented from their sins. When last year I was able to travel over 12 states, I was able to reach, you know, 30 to 40, you know, thousand American brothers and sisters. Praise God. You know, that is what God is doing through me here. And at the same time, with your prayers and support, you know, God is working in Pakistan. You know, it's amazing. You know, God is doing great things. You know, I just praise Jesus. Here you can, you know, see. My Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day. You know, my heart goes out for the Muslims. You know, whenever I see the Muslims, I pray that, oh God, these people are blind. These people are doing those things they don't know. You know, just as Jesus said on the cross, Father, forgive them, they know not what they're doing. I don't have to get mad at them. I don't have to be angry with them. I just need to be praying for those people. You know, I need to be sharing the love of Jesus Christ. I know. You know, that I am going to heaven through Jesus Christ. You know, one day I was speaking in Wichita, Kansas. And here, you know, I was having a supper with Pastor and his wife. You know, Pastor's wife said to me, Pastor, we have a Muslim neighbor. But I didn't invite them. You know, I said, why? Oh, she said, you know, their children plays. You know, their children play with our children, so if I will invite them, they're not going to be our friends anymore. I said, man, what are you telling? You know, you're just concerned, worry about your friendship on this earth. What if you have invited them in the church and they listen to the sermon and they become Christians? They will not be only your friend here in this world, but they will be your friend after this life. You know, this is the main, you know, sermon tonight. You know, here in America, we always are afraid to speak the truth. You know, if I will speak the truth, you know, this guy is going to be offended because I'm speaking the truth. You know, that girl is going to be offended because I'm talking about Jesus Christ. You know, my dear sister, you know, we need to come out of that fear. You know, the fear is not from God. Fear is from Satan. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Please understand, you know, we need to preach the gospel of the truth. You know, let everybody know, you know, who we are. Amen to that. You know, a couple of days, I think 2 weeks ago, you know, I was, it was very interesting that I was visiting this family in Tennessee, Nashville.
And this family, they say, you know, we're going to have a Republican Party meeting tonight. Would you consider to come in that meeting? I said, sure. No, I will go. And then I have no plan of what I'm going to be doing over there. So here, when I arrived there, you know, there were two senators, one governor, and there were some other, you know, attorneys and judges and all those kind of guys. And, I, you know, God gave me the opportunity that I should, you know, they asked me to pray. And when I went to pray, I almost preached the whole sermon. Praise God. You know, I was just praying, Lord God, shed these people from the spirit of fear that they will not be afraid to speak the truth. Lord God, have mercy upon these politicians, you know. So praise God. You know, wherever we are, we should be speaking the truth. Amen. That. You know, those two senators, they asked me, you know, if you put, you know, the root cause of this Islamic terrorism, what you will say? I said, the root cause of Islamic terrorism is the Quran. It's not Osama bin Laden or Hezbollah or Hamas, it's just the Quran. They said, we have not heard like this before. I said, you have met the wrong people before. So, praise God. You know, we should be, you know, be speaking the truth no matter if they like it or not. Amen to that. Then, here, and also, you know, Bible says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. We are called to preach the gospel, nothing else. You know, because gospel has the power to set the captive free. Gospel has the power to bring the people into His marvelous light in the kingdom. Amen to that. You know, then also here again in the book of Acts chapter 17 verse 30 and 31, in the past God overlooked, you know, human ignorance concerning Him, but now He commands all people everywhere to repent. For He has set a day when He will judge the world through the man He has appointed, having given a proof of His to all men by raising Him from the dead. Amen to that. He is the only one who was risen from the dead. There is none like Jesus. Amen to that. And He is the only Savior. And I'll praise God. And we have to preach the gospel. Who will be saved? You know, first of all, we need to know that, you know, let me share something. I was visiting a church in a very small town called Stickney, South Dakota. Only 350 people in that town. And this church called United Methodist Church invited me, and you know, they invited me that I should teach on Islam for 3 or 4 days. And what happened? The Lord didn't allow me to speak on Islam for those days. The Lord just, you know, told me that I should just preach the gospel. And as I was preaching, this guy, every night when I was preaching, it was a revival meetings. You know, as I was giving those meetings, and one of the guys, he shared his story. You know, every night before I will preach, there was somebody who was sharing the story before I come and speak. So this guy, he came up and he shared the story. You know, how he got saved from drugs and all the bad things he was doing. And his mother was so religious woman, she never missed the church. Every Sunday she was there, even she was helping in the kitchen. And she got sick, she got the cancer, now she's in the hospital. And now I went to visit my mother in the hospital, and as I was there, I asked my mother, "Mother, do you know me?"
She said, yes, son, I know you. You know, mother, I want to ask you this question. If you call me, can you reach me via phone? Oh, she said, sure. I know that you won't, you know, ignore my call. You will pick up the phone and you will talk to me. Then he asked her, Mom, I want to ask you another question. Do you know the President of the United States? Oh, she said, yes, I know him. You know, I know of him and have seen him on in television or in newspapers. And then he asked her another question. Mom, I want to ask you this last question. How do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus the way you know me? Or you know Jesus the way you know the President of the United States? Well, she said, I think that I know Jesus the way I know the President of the United States. Many times we're coming in a church every Sunday. We don't want to miss a church because we feel that, you know, if I will miss, you know, my conscience will hurt me. You know, sometimes, you know, some churches we feel that, you know, we're just going to church to punch our card. You know, but that's not going to take you to heaven. You understand? You know, many churches, I've been in many churches. And when I talk to those church people, it's really shocking. They don't know, you know, what is written in the Bible. You have to be a born-again Christian. Amen to that? You know, it is really, it's more easy to preach in Pakistan than in the United States. One day I was in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And here we, you know, one pastor friend of mine, you know, we were going to the restaurant. And here a beggar lady, you know, she came and she was asking for money. And I said, oh, do you know Jesus? Oh, she said, praise the Lord, hallelujah. I said, and she was stinking, you know, with the liquor smell. I said, man, I told the pastor, you know, it's amazing that people over here in the United States, they know the language, but they don't know Jesus. That is really sad. You know, you have to be a born-again Christian. You have to repent from your sins and be a part of God's kingdom. Otherwise, you know, by coming to church every Sunday, it's not going to take you to heaven. Please understand. It's very, very clear. It's a very clear story Jesus shared with Nicodemus, you know, that you cannot enter in the kingdom of heaven unless you are born again. Amen to that? So here, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old has gone, new has come. We have to represent what is new. Amen to that. Praise God. And the John 15 verse 8, my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so prove to be my disciples. This is the way we have to, you know, to work in His kingdom. You know, some of the things I like to share with you, when you become Christian and you have a call upon your life, what you should do if you're trying to reach the people for Jesus. I think prayer is a very, very important thing. If you're not praying, you cannot reach the lost. The very important, you know, it will not equip you in a life. You thank God that you are here in this mission conference. But the mission conference will just provide you the information. It will give you the knowledge. But the real thing you have to do is start praying. And when you pray, the things will change. You know, in the Psalms, you know, 2 verse 8, it's written, you know, ask and I will give you the nations of the world for your inheritance and uttermost part of the earth for your possession. We need to be praying for the people. Amen to that. I remember there was a guy, you know, he married this Muslim girl, and he was a very good friend of mine. You know, before I become Christian, we both used to do all the bad things. And when he became, you know, and he married this Muslim girl, and now he is a nominal Christian and he has married a Muslim girl. But, you know, as, you know, when I became Christian, I started to pray for this guy. Every day I was praying and praying, God, give me this man. What happened? You know, he shared the story with me. You know, his wife got pregnant, and they made a deal. If the baby is born on any Muslim day or Muslim festival, something like that, then he, the husband, will become Muslim. And if the baby is born on a Christian event, or a Christian festival, or Sunday, you know, something like that, then she will become Christian. You know what happened? He came, he told me, Brother, I want to tell you something. This was the deal between me and my wife. I said, okay, so what happened? He said, you know, my baby girl was born on the 25th of December. Praise God. And, you know, we are looking somebody who can baptize us in the water. Amen to that. When you pray constantly, you know, the things will change. You know, praise God. And that guy, you know, he went in a seminary. Now he's a very well known, top, you know, 10 guys, a preacher in Pakistan. And he also has written a book. You know, praise God. You know, this is the way God works. Amen to that. And the fasting in another way. When we are, you know, fasting, I remember, you know, like, you know, fasting is spiritual for warfare. I'd like to share with you. You know, one day I got a, you know, somebody came. I was in South Africa. And this lady came. She said, you know, Pastor, you know, could you pray for this Muslim guy from Turkey? You know, I said, what's happening? He said, you know, she said that, you know, in his home, the copper supplying, the demons are coming out of mirror. And he's really in a terrible shape. I said, okay, let me pray and fast and do the spiritual warfare. So as I was praying and fasting for 2 or 3 days, you know, and I had 2 visions. In those 2 visions, the 2 dogs, the black dogs came, and, you know, they want to attack me, but I killed those 2 black dogs. And then, you know, a big snake came, and he wants to attack me, but I killed that black, you know, that snake too. You know, after these 2 visions, you know, I told those people that I'm ready to go and pray for that man. So praise God, we went there and prayed, and he got delivered, you know, from these demons. And then I asked him, oh, do you like to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and want to become Christian? Oh, this Muslim guy said, no, you know, if I will become Christian, you know, my family is going to kill me. I said, okay. Then I looked right into his eyes and command the spirit of fear to leave in the name of Jesus. You know, after I said that, you know, I repeated the same question. Do you want to become Christian? He said, yes. You know, amen. You know, my dear brothers and sisters, when we are praying and fasting and doing the spiritual warfare, you know, praise God, victory is there for you. I think before we will go and start preaching the gospel, we need to win the people in our closets. Amen to that. That's the way we have to do the evangelism. Then the intercession with tears. You know, the Paul says, you know, I kept on praying with tears for you for these 2 years. When we are praying with tears, you know, the Bible says that he put our tears in a like a flask, something like in the Bible. In the Iranian custom, a culture, when the husbands go on a trip overseas or somewhere, you know, their wives, they have a flask, you know. And whenever they miss the husband, and the tears shed, they put those tears in that flask. And when the guys come back, they show them, you know, see how many tears I have shed for you. You know, so this is kind of custom. You know, and God will remember our tears. Amen to that. You know, and you know, as This woman is showing the tears to her husband. You know, see how many tears I have shed for you when I was missing you. You know, the same thing, you know, it's the same principle. Amen to that. You know, God, when God will see, you know, our tears, that we are shedding our tears for the lost, I believe that God is going to answer our prayers. God is going to touch the lives of people. When did you pray, you know, last time with tears for somebody in, you know, in your family who's lost? When did you pray for your neighbors? I remember that I was praying for I was in South Africa. I was praying for my Hindu neighbors. And as I was praying and crying before God, I said, God, you know, do a miracle in this apartment. You know, what happened? And I said, you know, we're going to have a cell meeting. It's like, you know, we're going to have, you know, invite the people to our, you know, apartment and have a fellowship. So as we were doing those things, I knocked on the door of a Hindu people. Oh, I say, no, I'm a pastor and we like to invite you to come and have fellowship with us. Oh, she said, last night I have a dream that somebody came to me, he gave me the Bible. I want to come for this fellowship. Amen. That when you're praying, you know, the things will change. You know, sometimes we always hear that, you know, that country is closed for the gospel. Have you heard that? They say, you know, Saudi Arabia is closed, Muslim countries are closed for the gospel. You know, one thing I want to say, no country is closed for the martyrs. Amen. That if you are willing to become a martyr for Jesus, no country is closed for the gospel. You know, let me explain to you. When the, you know, Bible says, when the Holy Spirit will come upon you, you will receive power. You know, in the Greek, the word power, you know, is used, you know, the word dunamis, where the word dynamite come. And then, you know, the word witness in Greek, it's called martyrs, where the word martyr come. And also in Arabic, you know, the word witness, you know, shaheed, or shahadat, you know, when the Holy Spirit will come upon you, you will receive power to be my martyr. That's what God is telling. If you're not willing to lay down your life for Jesus, you cannot be a witness for Jesus. You know, this is very important. You know, then guidance of the Holy Spirit is very important. You know, I remember that one day I was, you know, I used to do a street evangelism in Pakistan. When I was there, I used to do that street evangelism. So, one day I have a very bad day. You know, like, I went door to door, doing the door to door evangelism, and I have a very bad day. You know, nobody was responding to the gospel message. I was trying to give them the Christian gospel or Christian literature to those Muslims. And everywhere I went, I was, you know, kicked out. You know, they pushed me away. And here I said, Lord, what's going on? I had a very bad day. Nobody responded for the gospel message. And the Lord said to me, go to that shop over there. I went there, and this guy, you know, he was busy with his customers, and I was waiting. And when he finished with his customers, he said, you know, how I can help you? I said, I brought some things for you I want to share with you. And I gave him the Bible, and he said, it's very thin. I can't read it. He was wearing a big, thick glasses. And I said, you know, okay. For example, if God of this book will heal your eyes, would you take it? He said, sure, that's the deal. So I said, remove your glasses. You know, he was really wearing a thick lenses. And I put my hands on his eyes and I prayed, Lord God, for the sake of your name, Jesus Christ, heal his eyes. And amen. You know, and after I prayed,
I asked him, could you, you know, try to read these? Or he started crying. He said, I can read it without my glasses. You know, I don't want to get it free. I'll tell me the prices of all these things. And I'm just praying for my whole family. Amen to that. When we will be led by the Holy Spirit, I think that things will be changed. Many times we feel that, you know, yeah, we need to be preaching the gospel. We have to do it. But when we are preaching the gospel, we must make sure, are we led by the Holy Spirit or not? You know, in the book of Acts, you will find out when they were praying and fasting and ministering unto the Lord, the Holy Spirit spoke to them and told them, set apart, you know, Saul and Barnabas for the work I have designated for them. Then what happened? They were sent by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit told them to go into this town and not to go in that town. Amen that. So when we are led by the Holy Spirit, then our preaching will be effective. Otherwise, you know, we are just wasting our time. So please, this is the heart of God, but we need to make sure, you know, we should be doing, you know, exactly what the Word of God tells us. You know, we need to go in the world and, you know, preaching and making the disciples. You know, sometimes we use the word converts. You know, this is a very interesting story here. In this sector, you know, some Muslims from another town, you know, next door, you know, you've been there, you know, across the canal. You know, there's Shantinagar on this side, and across the canal, there's another town, a Muslim town. And this Muslim family were, you know, possessed by demons, and they went to their Muslim witch doctors and tried to get rid of those demons, but then they're not going. So they came to the pastor and told, they, you know, this is the problem. They prayed and, you know, praise God, you know, they got delivered and they start coming to church. What happened? There was a lot of pressure on them from the other Muslims and they didn't go next Sunday. You know, the demons came back and they say, you know, what should we do? They told the Muslim, other Muslims, you know, we went to this, you know, the Muslim witch doctors, they couldn't help us. And, you know, we started going to the church and we got healed. And now you told us not to go to church and we didn't go to church. And now the demons are back. We have to go to the church. Amen to that. They're getting baptized. Amen to that. Praise Jesus. That's a, you know, amazing thing that God is doing. You know, we need to see the people with the heart of God. You know, when Jesus saw the crowd, he had compassion for them because they were harassed, you know, and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciple, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. That's what God says, you know, pray for what? Pray for the harvest? Pray for the laborers. You know? Harvest is plentiful. But we need to be praying for the laborers. Are we willing to go? You know, therefore ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. Here, I'd like to show you one of the two pictures here. You know, this is a great commission of our Lord Jesus Christ. The creation awaits in an eager expectation for the sons and daughters of God to be revealed. You know, here, in this picture, let me share something very interesting. This is a church guy sharing the gospel with this lady, the Muslim lady, in the northern part of Pakistan, where you cannot talk about Jesus. If you, you know, but because of the earthquake, we were able to take the foods and the blankets over there, and she is covered from head to toe. And here, you know, during the night, Paul had a vision, you know, of a man, of a Macedonian standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. Amen? These people in these black garbs, they are in such an agony and pain. If you really know what they're feeling,
you will cry with them. They are in such a pain. And they are in a bondage, terrible bondage of Islam. And we have to go there. We have to pray for them. And what happened? Here in this picture, you know, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You know, here, let me share something. This is, you know, in this picture, she is now praying after the pastor, you know, to accept Jesus. And after she prayed after the pastor, you can see her face. What happened? Brother, could you go? Oh, why? Keep on clicking. I'm so sorry. I said, you know, I'm showing the picture and you're not showing that. Keep on going. Keep on going. Next one. She, you know, here, she, still her face is covered. But next one, you can see her face. Amen to that? You know, it's amazing. The power of the gospel is there to set the captive free. Amen to that? Isn't it amazing? You know, go back here. I'd like to share some of the things. You know, how, you know, you can be, you know, I'm not going to say anything. I will just ask you. I know that this church is greatly involved in the work in Pakistan. I just want to say thank you once again. And you can be a part of the, you know, the Great Commission. If you are a nurse, or a doctor, anybody wants to go and work in our Jesus Hills Medical Clinic, and are you welcome? Pray, go, and give. Amen to that? That's the way we can be a part of God's work. Last year we were able to reach 3,200 some people through the medical clinic. Amen to that? What happened? We, you know, these people come, those are poor, they cannot afford the, you know, to have a medicine. So these people come to our medical clinic. They, first of all, they will hear the word of God. Then they will be prayed. In fact, the doctor complained. Doctor said, you know, before they come to me, they already healed. Amazing. I said, praise God. So, this is something, you know, I tell them, you have to pray and share Jesus with every patient. You know, because if they want to have a free medicine, they have to hear the word of God. Amen to that. So, these are the things I shared with you. And then here, you know, we took the food and blanket here. You can see in the northern part of Pakistan. This pastor is, could you go to the next one, please? Keep on going. Keep on going. Next one, please. Next one. Keep on going. Next one. Here, see this? This pastor is praying with this Muslim man from northern part of Pakistan. And then the next one is, next picture is, all these guys are Taliban. And see, they're lifting up their hands, and they say, you know, we have to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Before the earthquake, you will not be able to mention the name of Jesus in this place. You will be killed. But praise God, we were able to witness them. That's what God is doing. Amen to that? And here, we also like to share, you know, your love with the church in Pakistan. You know, we want to tell them that, you know, American Christians, they care for you. You know, Pastor Mark, he prayed for this man to have children. You remember that? And they have, I think, 3 or 4 children. Praise God. I think it's recalling all of your memories. Here, you know, all these pictures. You know, and
You guys know these people. These church people. Which one? I'm on my computer. So praise God. You know, God is so wonderful. So could you go next slide, please? You know, this is your church, your brothers and sisters. Amen to that. You know, I have not seen my parents more than 10 years. But one thing I want to tell you. You remember, Jesus was, you know, one day Jesus was preaching. He said, you know, somebody came to him and told him, your mother and brothers are asking for you. He said, who's my mother, brothers, and sisters? He said, then he pointed toward his disciples. He said, these are my mother's brothers and sisters. Those who obey the commandments of my Father. Amen to that. You know, I found a lot of brothers and sisters in this church. Amen to that. Praise God. And something very interesting, funny, I'd like to share with you. We all have the same blood type. You know what is that? J positive. Amen. So praise God. So get involved with the work we do it. And next slide, you could, you know, there's so many pictures. There are hundreds of pictures of sending, you know. Last year, we baptized over 900 people in Pakistan. You know, I just praise God. And like to share this story, and I will close this, you know, with this story. Here, a pastor friend of mine, he had a dream that there's a Muslim guy who's a very wealthy guy, have gone 2 times to Mecca, Saudi Arabia. And sometime in the past, his sister became Christian, and he killed her sister. And this pastor friend of mine had a dream that he came to him and told him that he have no peace in his life, and he wants to become Christian. He shared this dream with his elders. They said, oh, forget it. You know that he is the guy, he's a very wealthy, well-known, he gone 2 times to Mecca, he killed his sister. How come he's going to become Christian? And as they were talking about this thing, the knocking took place at the door, and this guy showed up, the same guy. And he said, I have no peace in my life. And I want to become Christian to have peace. Amen to that. There's so many stories, you know, pastors. Every day they call me and share me the stories, you know. And can you imagine that, you know, I know that, you know, you are praying for that church. You are praying for those people. You have trained, you know, the Pastor Mark and Sister, you know, Pastor Maggie and the friend, you know, you were there. You trained those people. You were in that Bible college. Now they are reaching those people. You know, amen, amen. I want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. And this is our next, you know, couple of slides I want to show you. Keep on going. Our vision and the prayer needs, you know, our vision is to strengthen the church in the United States that it will take a firm stand for Jesus Christ. Educate the church about the danger of Islam and how we can win Muslims for Jesus Christ. Pray for our ministry that the Lord will keep His heaven open and on us and meet our spiritual, physical and financial needs. And then pray for the church, you know, pastors, Bible students and poor children in Pakistan that Jesus will continue to heal at the medical clinic, that He will meet their needs and keep them strong. So please pray for them. It is possible to support a Pakistani pastor and his family, a 4 or 5, just for $100 a month, including food, housing, utilities, and other costs of living. This is unbelievable. You know, we can support a pastor with $150, $100, and this is something, you know, unbelievable in the United States. You cannot live for, you know, $100 for a month. It will be too difficult. You know, but praise God, you know, over there we can do it. Which means it is possible to support the ministry of an entire Pakistani church for only $100 per month. How can you help? Pray. Write to. Talk about. And help support. Faith Covenant International. So, this is the way. You know, as I close, you know, there's two resources. If you like to learn how we can pray for the Muslim, you know, some things about a Muslim, there's a audio book, Spirit of Martyrdom. It's a very great book. The best knowledge on Islam, than the DVD. So you can, you know, visit the book table there. But tonight, before I close, there's something I'd like to share with you. Two stories. There was a girl in Philippines. She became a friend with pastor's wife. This girl was a Muslim, but she started to come to church. And as she was coming to church every Sunday, she always sneak out and, you know, she go to church. And one day, you know, they told her that, no, this is a time for you to accept Jesus and be baptized. And the pastor's wife told her that, you know, she's going to prepare a beautiful white dress for her. Then she will be baptized. So, the day came when she's going to be baptized. And she was baptized. And what happened? After she was baptized, she put on the white, you know, dress, the beautiful white dress. And she went home and they found out, you know, this girl, you know, they asked her, where you got this white dress? And she told the whole story that, you know, that she is Christian now. And her dad, I mean, almost beat her to death. And they throw her outside. And some Christian, they found her lying on the roadside and they pick her up and brought to the pastor's house. And they clean her wounds. And after cleaning the wounds, you know, they took away all those, you know, that white dress because which was stained with the blood now. And they put a new clothes on her. And she was dying. And as she was dying, she said to the pastor's wife, could you get me that white dress? Well, they said, honey, that is not good anymore. It's torn. It's stained with the blood. She said, no, please get me that white dress. They brought that, you know, that dress which was torn, stained with the blood. She picked up that, you know, she held that, you know, her dress which was stained with her own blood. She lifted her toward heaven. She said, Jesus, I am shedding my blood for you because you shed your blood for me first. And she died with that sin. And there was another guy. You know, a 12 years old child. The Muslim, they attacked on the church. They killed many Christians in the church. They went outside, they saw this 12 years old, you know, guy standing there. They told him, you know, they asked him, who are you? He said, I'm a soldier for Christ. They cut off his right arm. And they asked him again, who are you now? He said, I'm still a soldier of Jesus Christ. And they cut off his left arm. And then they asked him again, who are you now? He said, I'm still a soldier of Jesus Christ. They cut his legs. And they asked him, you know, who are you now? As he was dying, he said, I'm still a soldier of Jesus Christ. You know, praise God. Who we are tonight. Are we willing to lay down everything for Jesus? Are we just coming to church only Sunday morning to punch our cards and soothe our conscience? If you're not willing to give up everything, all things for Jesus, we cannot be His disciples. And we cannot be a witness for Jesus. in order to be a true witness for Jesus Christ. We have to lay down everything, even our very lives, at His feet and ask Jesus, Jesus, I am not my own. You own me. You own everything I have. It's yours. And if you want to make that kind of commitment tonight, because you are here in the mission conference, and God is asking the true missionaries how you can be a true missionary, a true witness for Jesus. If you only allowing Jesus to be a little part of your life, but you want to keep the rest of your life for yourself, this is not going to work. You know, here in this bottle, it's written purified water. You know, one day I was in a church, and there was a guy who was having a water business. I asked him, brother, if you just put on this bottle 98% pure water, 2% water from sewage, do you think people will buy that? You know? He said, no. It's not going to work. He said, if we are saying that we are a Christian, but we only are 50%, a 90%, a 95%, a 98%, not 100%, we cannot be a part of God's kingdom. In order to be a part of God's kingdom, we have to be 100%. And in order to be a witness, we have to be 100% sold for Jesus Christ. If you're not 100% sold for Jesus Christ, we cannot be His witnesses. You know, many times, because I teach on Islam, and sometimes I go to the secular universities, and a lot of Muslims, from Saudi Arabia, Yemen, and all these guys, come in my meeting. And sometimes I think, God, might be this is going to be my last day. But it's okay. If this is going to be my last day, I know, I'm not going to, stop. I'm going to preach the gospel. Even if somebody's going to shoot me. Amen. I remember one day I was going to do a conference, and one Muslim lady, a news reporter, called me. She said, are you not afraid if somebody can shoot you over there? I said, I'm not. She said, why? I said, nobody can kill the dead man. I'm already dead. My dear brothers and sisters, if we are trying to be a true witness for Jesus Christ, we have to die and let Christ will resurrect in us. Amen. Because if we are still alive, His power at His resurrection is not going to manifest through us. Amen to that. So if you want to make that kind of commitment, whatever it takes, as we read, I consider my life worth nothing. If I only accomplish the task the Lord Jesus has given to me, the task to testify the gospel of God's grace, I would ask you to please stand. Whatever it takes, even if I have to die for the sake of the gospel, I'm going to follow Him. I'm going to preach the truth. And that is Lord Jesus Christ. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You. We bow down at Your feet, O God. We acknowledge You that You are our Lord, our Savior, our Master. Tonight, Lord God, we repent from our sins. We repent from our fear of man. Many times we are afraid of men that we might offend them with the name Jesus. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us, Lord God. Sometimes we are afraid because we cannot go out of our comfort zone. Oh God, forgive us. Lord God, please forgive us our selfishness, our laziness, Lord God, and forgive us for lack of our prayers and fasting and doing spiritual warfare. And help us and pour your Holy Spirit upon us tonight, that we may be bold and strong the way you have called us to be. To be your witness, to be a martyr for you. Even if you have to die for you, Lord God, we will not shrink back, but lay down our lives for you. Lord, I thank you tonight. I ask you, Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit tonight. Each one of us, as we are standing in your presence tonight, we ask you, please take over in our lives. You are our Master. You are our God. You own us. We belong to you, Lord God. Not our will, but your will be done. And send us wherever you want us to go. Lord, we will not resist. We will not come in the way of your will. We want to go wherever you will send us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thank you. Over to Pastor Mark.